said a mound of foam of a senior Wranglish persuasion, and he did some simple magic, and I rather think we got carried away. Ah, so it was you, Dean. Yes, all right, but only by coincidence, said the Dean testily. Out of here, all of you, said Ridcully. Back to the university this minute. I mean, I don't see why you should assume it's my fault, just because sometimes it might happen to be me who... The froth had sunk a bit more, to reveal a pair of eyes under a dwarfish helmet.
"Excuse me," said a voice, still under the bubbles. "But who's going to pay for all this? That's $4, thank you very much."
"The bursar's got the money," said Ridcully quickly.
"Not any more," said the senior wrangler. "He bought 17 doughnuts."
"Sugar?" said Ridcully. "You let him eat sugar? You know that makes him, you know, a bit funny. Mrs. Whitlow said she'd give notice if we let him get anywhere near sugar again." He herded the damp wizards towards the door.
All right, my good man, you can trust us. We're wizards. I shall have some money sent round in the morning.
Eh, you expect me to believe that, do you? Said the dwarf.
It had been a long night. Ridcully turned and waved his hand at the wall. There was a crackle of octarine fire, and the words, I owe you $4, burned themselves into the stone.
Oh, right you are then. No problem there, said the dwarf, ducking back into the froth.
"I shouldn't think Mrs. Whitlow is going to worry,"
said the lecturer in recent runes as they squelched through the night.
"I saw her and some of the maids at the concert. You know, the kitchen girls, Molly, Polly and Dolly. They were screaming."
"I didn't think the music was that bad," said Ridcully.
"No, not in pain. I wouldn't say that,"
said the lecturer in recent runes, beginning to go red.
"But, when the young man was waggling his hips like that..."
"He definitely looks elvish to me," said Ridcully.
I think she threw some of her under things on to the stage."
This silenced even Ridcully, at least for a while. Every wizard was suddenly busy with his own private thoughts.
"What? Mrs. Whitlow?"
the Chair of Indefinite Studies began.
"Yes."
I
think so.
Ridcully had once seen Mrs. Whitlow's washing line. He'd been impressed. He'd never believed there was so much pink elastic in the world.
"What, really?
Said the Dean, his voice sounding as though it was coming from a long way away.
I'm pretty sure.
"Sounds dangerous to me," said Ridcully briskly. "Could do someone a serious injury. Now then, you lot, back to the university, right now for cold baths all round."
"Really?
Said the Chair of Indefinite Studies. Somehow, none of them felt able to leave the idea alone.
"Make yourself useful and find the bursar," snapped Ridcully.
"And I'd have you lot up in front of the university authorities first thing in the morning if it wasn't for the fact that you are the university authorities." Foul old Ron, professional maniac and one of Ankh-Morpork's most industrious beggars, blinked in the gloom. Lord Vetinari had excellent night vision, and unfortunately, a well-developed sense of smell.
"And then what happened?"
he said, trying to keep his face turned away from the beggar. Because the fact was that although in actual size foul old Ron was a small hunched man in a huge grubby overcoat, in smell he filled the world. In fact, foul old Ron was a physical schizophrenic. There was foul old Ron, and there was the smell of foul old Ron, which had obviously developed over the years to such an extent that it had a distinct personality. Anyone could have a smell that lingered long after they'd gone somewhere else, but the smell of foul old Ron could actually arrive somewhere several minutes before he did, in order to spread out and get comfortable before he arrived. It had evolved into something so striking that it was no longer perceived with the nose, which shut down instantly in self-defence. People could tell that foul old Ron was approaching by the way their earwax started to melt.
Wrong side out. I told him, bugger him.
The patrician waited. With foul old Ron, you had to allow time for his wandering mind to get into the same vicinity as his tongue.
"Spying on me with magic. No. I told him. Beans